From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. The recording industry has sued more computer users it accuses of illegally sharing music over the internet. The Recording Industry Association of America announced yesterday that it had filed 493 new lawsuits. It's been nearly a year since the major record labels began taking file sharers to court. So far, those companies have sued nearly 3,000 people. The labels say file sharing hurts everyone in the industry, especially artists. But that stance raises questions about how the labels treat those same artists. Joel Rose of member station WHYY reports.
The message that downloading is bad for artists was the centerpiece of a series of TV spots paid for by Music United for Strong Internet Copyright, a coalition of industry groups and lobbying organizations.
Illegally downloading music.
We really take it to heart.
The spots began airing in September of 2002 and featured Britney Spears, Missy Elliott, and others.
We appreciate the love, but don't
steal the music.
You got love? Act like
you're
it.
You're in control.
Support music. Don't steal it.
But some in the industry say the record labels themselves aren't exactly sharing the love when it comes to paying artists for their work.
I've never taken an audit of a record company that I haven't found royalties due.
Entertainment lawyer Jay Cooper has represented dozens of artists, from Supertramp to Sheryl Crow.
There's one particular artist whose name I cannot tell you. I take an audit every couple of years, and we pick up anywhere from $750,000 to $1.5 million every couple of years. There's another artist. We do one every 3 years, do one audit. We picked up $4 million, another audit of $1 million. It always covers our bills and puts money in the substantial money in the artist's pocket.
Cooper adds that he's never had to sue a record company over royalties because they've always settled first. But a number of performers have taken their labels to court. In 1996, the artist known as Meatloaf sued Sony's Epic Music Division for $14 million in royalties and reportedly wound up settling for $10. 2 years ago, the Dixie Chicks settled another high-profile case against Sony for a reported $20 million. It's not that the labels are trying to cheat, says Stephen Marks, general counsel for the Recording Industry Association of America, which represents the major labels. It's just that recording contracts leave room for interpretation.
Most agreements today are negotiated between label attorneys and representatives and very sophisticated attorneys and managers for artists. They're heavily negotiated, and royalties are paid in accordance with the detailed provisions of those contracts. From time to time, there may be a dispute, like in any contractual relationship, about the interpretation of one of those provisions. And that really is what leads to, you know, the handful of audits that do take place.
One frequent source of friction in the record industry is whether an artist is recouped. According to most contracts, the artist has to sell a certain number of records to pay back or recoup the label's expenses, which can include an advance to the artist, along with manufacturing, distribution, and promotion costs. It can take an audit by an accountant to determine who is recouped and how much they're owed. When a record comes out, the label may ship thousands of copies to stores, but that doesn't mean they'll sell. In the 1970s, Nile Rodgers played guitar and co-wrote songs for the band Chic. These days, Rodgers runs his own record label.
Here's the part that most artists don't see. The stores are buying those records and they're paying the record company. If, in fact, a customer doesn't purchase that record, a fair amount of accounting has to be done to track all of the product down, to see what the store wants to keep in their inventory and what they want to actually return. So it's a somewhat complicated process, although it's not that complicated. Banks seem to get it right.
Nile Rodgers is one of a number of artists who make it a regular practice to audit their record companies.
As a matter of fact, there's a joke around my camp. If you ever want to give people a bunch of really great Christmas presents, audit your record company. And I guarantee you there's money there.
But auditors can cost over $300 an hour. That's a luxury most musicians can't afford. And even once you ask for an audit, it can still take the label a long time to open its books, says country singer Merle Haggard.
It's like untangling a ball of hair. To get in there and audit, you have to have an appointment. Well, the appointment comes when they let you have it. It may take you 3 years to get in there. I haven't had much luck, to tell you the truth. I found $15,000 or $20,000 here and there. I just finally got disgusted with it.
That may have been the case with many of the artists who stand to benefit from a recent settlement with the five major record labels. A 2-year investigation by the New York State Attorney General's Office found that record labels had lost track of thousands of performers, from studio musicians to such stars as Dolly Parton, Willie Nelson, and David Bowie. And as a result, the labels were holding nearly $50 million in unpaid royalties.
There is no disincentive to underpay the artist.
California State Senator Kevin Murray is sponsoring a bill that would make record companies liable for punitive damages if they don't pay royalties.
If you're the record company, why not underpay everybody all the time? And the worst thing that can happen is that if you get caught, you have to pay up. And in reality, you still don't really have to pay up. You have to pay some negotiated amount.
In other words, says Murray, the record labels settle for less than the artists originally claimed, and there's no penalty. For now, his bill is stalled in the state's General Assembly, where it's facing vigorous opposition from the Recording Industry Association of America, not only because the bill would affect the way business is done now. RIAA General Counsel Stephen Marks says it would also hamstring record labels, just as they're trying to adapt to selling music on the Internet.
Everyone in the industry will suffer if labels are constrained by the possibility that a jury empowered to impose punitive damages could second-guess the label's judgment as to how to apply existing contract terms to new media. That's essentially the problem.
But to some, it looks like the record labels are trying to impose a flawed old system on the new marketplace of online music sales. For music industry accountant Fred Walensky, there's a big difference between Internet sales and traditional retail.
Now, you know, you're going directly to the consumer through a vehicle which has a licensing arrangement from the record labels, i.e., licensing the use of their master recordings in this mode of distribution.
That's potentially a big deal, says Walensky, because most recording contracts make a distinction between distribution and licensing. The artist's royalty rate when the record company manufactures, packages, and delivers a traditional CD to stores is typically between 10 and 20%. But when a label licenses a song, that is, allows it to be used for, say, a movie soundtrack or a TV ad campaign, it often has to pay the artist 50% of the revenue. And to an artist's attorney like Jay Cooper, Internet sales by such services as iTunes or Rhapsody, which have licensing deals with the labels, would seem to call for higher compensation.
What is it? Is it a distribution or is it a license? There's going to be a dispute about this. There's no question there's going to be a dispute about it as to which category, because it's a big difference in money.
As far as Cooper knows, no one has filed a lawsuit over this issue yet. But he predicts as online sales grow, so will the incentive for musicians to fight for their share. For NPR News, I'm Joel Rose.